Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm your host, Pastor Victor. And do you want to know what I know about you? Here we go. I know this about you. You want to be a generous person. You want to be known as generous. And you want people to know that you are generous. It is your desire. I know this, right? However, we are not all generous as we want to be. Isn't that interesting? We want to be generous, but something is standing in the way. When I think about generous people, I think of people with open hands. You know, there's a place in the book of Psalm 23, the Lord anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over, my cup overflows with God's anointing and blessing. So when I think of generous people, people like you, you have open hands, and God's generosity overflows. The opposite of generosity is, I'm going to say, stinginess. People who are stingy have their hands closed. And that's because something is standing in the way for them to open their hands. And when they have God's blessing, God's generosity overflowing out of their open hands, then people will call you and they will find you generous. Now, I wonder if you're thinking, you know what? That's a good introduction. Here's why I am not as generous that I want to be. I want to be generous, but I'm not as generous that I want to be. And that's because I don't have enough money. Now, when I'm talking about generosity today, I'm talking about three T words: generous with your time, generous with your talent, your abilities, and generous with your treasure, meaning money. Now, when I think about all those three things, there is a principle that ties all of them together, but let me focus on the treasure part, your money. You're saying, I want to be more generous, but I'm not because I don't have enough money. Well, hang on here. Think of a person, right now, think of a person in your life, in your experience, someone who's generous with his, her time, talents, and treasure. Got it? When I ask the question to myself, time, who's generous with his time? I think of one person. If you tell him, hey, can you give me some of your time? I need your help. He doesn't own a car, so you know what he does? He used to take the bus. When I said, I need your help, he would hop on the city bus. Three transfers. He would spend 2 hours getting to where I am, and he would help me. He is so generous with his time. When I think of who's generous with his talents, I think of this person. He is gifted in certain aspect. Okay, and we all need this, like, you know, a mechanic. We need help with our cars, or an accountant. We need help with our taxes. Right, this person would donate, serve his talents for you. I find that person generous. When I think of someone who's generous with their treasures, like with their money, there are so many people that I met over the years. Radical generosity, like kind of generosity you wouldn't expect or even ask for. It's so practical, so outrageous, and so promiscuous. You have people like that. You have people like that. Okay, now here, back to my point. It's not how much money you have that makes you generous. So case in point, let me prove it to you. Do you know anyone who's poor yet stingy? Someone who's poor, doesn't have much, and that person's stingy. You know someone like that, okay? You know someone who's rich, who has lots of money, and yet stingy. Ah, you know someone like that, don't you? I hope that's not you. Do you know someone who's rich and generous? Yes, you do. You do. Rich people with big generosity, right? Now get this. Here's the kicker. You know anyone who's poor and yet generous? Oh, I hope you do. I know I do. So what's my point? I just proved a point. Generosity does not depend on how much money you have. So here's the question then. Who is generous? My answer? Generous people are generous. not rich people, not poor people, but generous people are generous. Mm-hmm. So here's the question. How do you become a person of generosity? And that's what I want to look at. How do you and I become people with open hands, and from which the generosity of generous God up there overflows, runneth over? I am so thankful to the Lord Jesus that we are in this current series of sermons and messages called Rise. That let the life of Christ rise up within you. And in the last 2 weeks, we covered two discipleship values. When the life of Christ is rising up within you, then you get to know Jesus from the Scripture. That's the value of Scripture. From the Scripture, as we get to know Jesus, the life of Christ is rising up within us. And the following week, last week, we learned from the Scripture that when the life of Christ is rising up within you, what's going to happen? You get to meet Jesus in the prayer. Prayer is a value of disciples, the followers of Christ. And prayer is not so much getting things from God. Prayer is what? Getting God Himself. And today, we're going to focus on the life of Christ is rising up within you. Therefore, here is the value. Generosity. The value of generosity. To show Jesus. Download the sermon online and write these words. To show Jesus the value of generosity with your time, talents, and treasures. So shall we go to the Scripture and find out how we can become people of generosity? Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Now, here is the background. There was a severe famine in Jerusalem, in the land of Israel. So the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth and asking them to become generous people, people with open hands, by collecting a love offering so that he may bring it to the Christians in Jerusalem who are stricken with a severe famine. All right? So hear the word of the Lord from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will abound in all good works. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we pray that we may get to have our hands open so that your acts of generosity may fall upon our hands. And not only that, will your generosity overflow, runs over out of our hands into the lives of others. Because we want to show Jesus to them about your generosity. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. There are three parts in my message. Before we can become people of generosity, I want to ask the following three questions. Number one, why do you want to be generous? Number two, how does the Lord Jesus enrich you to become generous? And lastly, what does your generosity look like? All right, so let's get to it, okay? Again, the theme and the goal is we get to show Jesus. We get to show Jesus to others through our generosity. The life of Christ is rising up within us. As we engage, receive the rich generosity of our God and Heavenly Father. So first section, why do you want to be generous? I want to give three reasons. Please write these down in your sermon outline. Number one, you want to bless the needy. Number two, you want to give Jesus the glory. And number three, you want to leave a legacy. So here's the first point. Why do you want to be generous? Number one, you want to bless the needy. Check it out. Verse 12. This is so obvious, very plain. This service, your love offering, your generosity, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Look at this. Your generosity is meeting the needs of the people. That's it. As simple, clear as that. You want to be generous because you want to bless the needy. In one of our house churches at Mosaic House Church, so house church is like a small group on Holy Spirit steroids, right? Okay. And there was a family that was in need. And when this house church found out about the need, you know what they did? They pooled their money together and they came in one accord and they were able to bless the needy. And this family who received the generosity, they were so blessed. And that's it. You want to be generous to bless the needy. Okay? Number two. You want to give Jesus the glory. Check this out. Verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. Did you catch that? They will praise God because of your generosity. Now that word, to praise God, it in the Greek language, the original language of the New Testament, it literally means to glorify God, to put a light, shining light, on the person of God. So the word actually literally means to value the Lord for who He really is. As in, when you come to know God and acknowledge His character, you are glorifying God. And in what are you finding about the nature of God? That God Himself is generous. Did you catch that? When you show your generosity to others, to the needy, what they're going to do is they're going to glorify your Father in heaven. Once again, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. Please get this. Please hear this. When people are blessed, when you bless the needy with the generosity, with your generosity, they're going to give thanks to God. God met my needs. God showed up. I see Jesus through the generosity of Jack, through the generosity of YJ, through the generosity of Jeff, you see. Now, here is something that I didn't see before. The third reason as to why you want to be generous is this. Write these words. You want to leave a legacy. You bless the needy, give Jesus the glory, and you want to leave a legacy. And this blew my mind away. Can I share this with you? Look at verse 9. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Okay? Meaning, the people of Jesus, they generously, promiscuously, and liberally sowed or scattered, as if they were seeds, their generosity gifts to the poor. And here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Their righteousness endures forever. Hang on here. Did you see what I just saw? In the Bible, when it talks about righteousness, it's referring to salvation. Are you saved? Have you been made right, righteousness, right with God through Jesus Christ? And here it says, there is a connection between your generosity and your salvation, because your righteousness endures forever. And you say, time out. Preacher, Pastor V, the Bible is clear, crystal clear. We are saved by grace, not by generosity, to which I say, amen. Thank you for saying that. We are saved by grace and grace alone. We're not saved by our generosity. We are saved by the generosity of Jesus Christ. Amen. But stick with me. Go to verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Did you read that? Because of the generosity by which you have proved yourselves. Proved what? Let's continue. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Your generosity will prove what? What you believe, your confession in the gospel of Christ. Here's what he's saying. Since you are saved by grace, by the generosity of Jesus Christ, you will prove to yourself and to God and to everybody else that you are saved by grace. And how? Through your generosity. Let me put it this way. Is there a transformation happening in your heart? You used to be a stingy person, but not because of the generosity of Christ. You've been saved by His grace. Now, are you becoming a person of generosity? Do you show Jesus to others how you are generous with your time, talents, and treasure? Do you love Jesus? Then you will show your love by giving your generosity. Do you love your neighbors? Then you will prove that love by doing what? By your action. Would you write these words? You can be giving without loving, but you cannot be loving without giving. You can give, you can be generous without loving the person, but you cannot love the person without giving. You cannot love Jesus if you're not generous to Him. You cannot say, I love my neighbor, if you're not generous to your neighbor. And I was so convicted by this. You want to be generous because you want to leave a legacy. And check out this legacy according to verse 14. And their prayers for you, their hearts will go out. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. The people who receive your generosity, they will pray for you. And that's how you're going to leave a legacy. And not only that, their hearts will go out to you because of your generosity and because of the surpassing grace God has given you. So this is why you want to become generous. Well, let's get to the second part of the message. Then how does the Lord Jesus enrich you to be generous? How does He give you the power to become generous? 3 points. Number 1, Jesus owns your time, talent, and treasure. Number 2, Jesus is supplying all you need. And number three, Jesus is enlarging your impact. Let's get to the first one. Jesus owns your time, talents, and treasure. Would you read verse 10 with me? It's about creation. It's about farming. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What the Apostle Paul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is saying is this. Just like a farmer sowing the seed, the result, the harvesting, is from Jesus Christ. That is to say, he is giving you everything that you need. As in this, as in, yes, you may say you are successful and you have your possessions, your time, talent, and money, treasure. But Jesus says, all of it came from me. I own everything. Whatever you have, I have loaned it out to you. I've been so generous to you by giving you my time, my talents, my treasure into your hands. So we should not say, that's my house. Instead, we should say, that house belongs to Jesus, which he loaned it out to me. We should say, that car belongs to Jesus. He owns everything, and he has loaned it out to me so that I may give him the glory. It's about the ownership. I own nothing. Jesus owns everything. So change that mentality. Second, Jesus is supplying all your needs. He is supplying all you need. Look at verse 8 and emphasize on the word all. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will abound in all good works. Did you catch that? God's hands are so open for you, towards you. His hands are so generous. Every good and perfect gift has come from God's generous hands. Everything that you have that's good, it's from the Lord. And that's why he owns everything. And there's plenty more where it came from. Scotiabank is right. You are richer than you think. Case in point. Do you know how much Jeff, what's his name? Oh yeah, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. You know how much money he gave to charity in 2020? Guess how much? $10 billion. That is a lot of money. Would you say he's generous? Well, I would say so, but check this out. You know how much money he made? How much he's worth in 2020? $200 billion. He gave less than 5% of his income, so to speak, his wealth. Okay? Now, here's what you're going to say. Listen, Victor, if I had more, I can be generous. If I had that kind of money, then I can be more generous. And that's my point. How much do you think you have? More than you think. What is the source of your generosity? Look at this. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. You will have so much more left in every good work, for you to become generous. Third, how does the Lord Jesus enrich you to become generous? Third is, Jesus is enlarging your impact. I'll be brief. Verse 10, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. How do you harvest righteousness? Isn't righteousness, salvation, a gift from God? Yes, it is. It's talking about you becoming like Christ more and more. That's how you harvest your righteousness. Are you becoming a person like Jesus, person of generosity, with your time, treasure, and talents? Do people say, now, there's someone who resembles Jesus Christ because of they are so rich and their hands are open wide? Quickly, let's move to the third and last part. What does your generosity look like? Please write these words. Number one, give generously. Two, give cheerfully. And three, give worshipfully. Give generously. Verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, remember this. Remember. He's writing for you to remember because you keep forgetting. You keep forgetting. So don't forget. Remember, remember, remember. Remember what? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Going back to this hand illustration, if you're stingy and your hands are closed, then God's abundant generosity will not stick. The more you open your hands, the more you reap, the more God is able to bless and fill and run over your hands with His abundant generosity. So give generously. Number two, give cheerfully. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give reluctantly or grudgingly. Means you give when you don't want to. God says, that's not a heart of generosity. Or give out of compulsion. That word is, in the Greek language, literally means to be bent. It's referring to you are being obligated. Someone is bending you. Someone is forcing you. Someone is making you feel guilty. So you give because you're being bent by exertion or outside pressure. Instead, God says, I love a cheerful giver. So give cheerfully. That word, cheerful, it comes from the Greek word hilaros. What does that sound like? It sounds like hilarious. Exactly. That's what God loves. God loves someone who gives, whose heart is filled with amazing joy and cheer. You cannot contain the joy. Why? Because God is blessing, filling your open hands. And lastly, give worshipfully. Give worshipfully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, on the first Sunday of every week, on the first Sunday of every week, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. He's saying, be generous according to your proportion of your income. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Underline the word first fruits. It's saying, God is saying, hey, when you give worshipfully, you are making this an act of worship. When you are generous with your time, talent, and treasure, it's an act of worship. And as you do it in this fashion. You first give, and then you second save, and then third you live. When it comes to money, this is what God is saying. This is how you give worshipfully. First, give to the Lord. Give to others. Give to the needy. And then save. And then live. But instead, what do most of us do? We live first, we save second, and we give last. And that's why there's nothing left to give at the end. So let us give worshipfully. Let me end with this. It's all about Jesus, letting His life, the life of Christ, rising up within you. As you embrace His generosity, then you become a person of generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Do you realize Jesus, the wealthiest person in the entire universe, He became poor voluntarily. He became a person of finite. Infinite being became finite. Who was rich infinitely, He became poor. Why? Through His poverty, you may become rich. When this grace sinks in your heart, the life of Christ will rise up within you through your generosity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may it be so. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.